Hi there. Welcome to our Intentional Living Center. The doors are wide open. I am Dr. Randy Carlson. We're looking forward to these 30 minutes ahead. We got a great time to talk about our children and in particular about faith. How do you teach your children about the spiritual world, about a world they cannot touch or see or smell? But by faith, we accept that God loves us and sent his son for us versus the material world that we focus on so much and we spend so much time training our children about. What one thing are you doing to teach your children about faith? You know, this thing of teaching our children about faith is a really interesting topic, and I know immediately come to mind while we go to Sunday school and church and we pray and so on. These are all important things, I think, basic to teaching our kids about faith. But we live in a world today, parents, where our children are being taught more and more about materialism, about the world is a material world, about material things. They're also growing up in a world where they're being taught not to trust teachers, not to trust authority figures, not to trust our government. And because of many things that have occurred in our world, kids today are growing up in a great deal more insecurity. And so when we talk about faith, how many of our children today really understand what it means just to trust, to have faith? And then trust in a God they cannot see, maybe trust in a God that didn't take care of their parents going through their marriage problems or their grandparents with their health problems or whatever it may be. So I would ask a very basic question today, a serious question, an important question. If that's your job and my job as parents and grandparents, what one thing have you been doing? One thing. If nothing else, I want you to think about it. If you're not doing it, to understand the responsibility to do it. So we're getting very intentional around an important topic today. Come join us at 888-888-1717.
I'd like to share concerning my mother, someone that touched my life more than anyone. My mother was a sharecropper, and we didn't have a whole lot. But one thing my mother gave me, being a child, was she taught her children how to pray. And if I could look back over my life, if there was a mentor, it would be my mother, teaching us how to pray. She taught us we ought to always pray. If we didn't do anything else, pray.
Very good for you. Hey, listen, those are the things that make a difference. What are you teaching your kids about faith? Let's go. Sean first, Lubbock. Hi there, Sean. How are you today?
Hi. I'm blessed. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for your call.
Yes, I love listening to y'all. I like to hear the input, especially when the days are, you know, the devil's trying to get at you, and you're like, no, I'm not going to let him win, because you know what? God gave us joy, and he woke us up this morning.
Amen. So. It starts early, and you got to start with the first breath in the day, don't we?
That's right. You have to, because you got to be thankful. There's maybe somebody out there that's got a worse life than you. You got to be thankful for what you have.
Guaranteed about that. So what are you doing to pass all this good stuff on to your kids about faith?
I've always kept them in prayer. They've always seen me, you know, with the Bible or something, to teach in Sunday school and teach them in church and going to church and being about family and saying the family is the only thing you have. I mean, you know, you have everything else, but you know, everything else is just an added bonus, you know, an added blessing. You just got to keep them rooted in Christ, you know. And
yeah, so what are some real specific things you do?
Oh, I read the Bible with my grandkids. I've got grandkids. My girls are grown now, and it's been hard letting them grow up.
Yeah, it is.
And I'm thankful that I, you know,
are you gonna cry about? You gonna cry about letting your kids go?
Yeah, well, sometimes it's hard.
Yeah,
because you see them making decisions that you're like, you're wanting them to say, okay, you go ahead and make your decisions, but you don't feel like it's right.
Yeah.
But you got to have trust in God that you've gave them enough input that they're putting their trust in God that they're doing the right thing for their kids.
Absolutely, I think this thing of parenting is never over, Sean.
Oh, I know. Believe me, I've known it. My mother has brain cancer, and you know we have her stills, and I'm thankful.
That's good.
It is hard to see a parent that suffer. And as a parent yourself, you're having to try to be the strong one in the family when it's your mother that was always the strong one.
That's hard. Yeah, I've been down that road. That's difficult.
And
what's your mom's name, Sean?
Glenda.
Glenda?
Uh-huh.
Can I pray for you guys?
Yeah.
Let me do that, because I know you've got a real heart of service and love for your family, and yet loss is a part of our experience. And it's a word to everyone. Being a Christian doesn't mean we're immune from this stuff. We just have the power when we face it. That's the difference. Lord, I pray for Sean, for her mom, Glenda, for letting go, being in this generational squeeze, caught in the middle. Difficult, Father, but the trust that Sean has in you, that she's passing on to her family, is a beautiful thing. Thank you for her, and bless her today, and may she find strength as she walks through this day with you today. Amen. Thank you, Sean.
And you have a blessed day, and we're going to enjoy listening.
Glad you're listening.
And a friend told me one time that she always prayed for her children. Oh, God, please help them resist temptation. But if they can't resist temptation, let them be caught immediately and punished mercifully. And it is amazing how God answers that prayer, to the point where the older kids once said to one of the younger ones, how can you be so stupid? You know that prayer, Mom says. And you were caught before you even got home. They were on the phone telling Mom and Dad what you did wrong. Yay, God.
There's a prayer. Mark it down. Use it. Talk to God about your kids in advance. Merciful, but get them caught, right? Hey, Rick is in Midland, Michigan. Hey, Rick.
Hello.
Welcome to the program today, my friend. How are you doing?
Wonderful, thank you.
Terrific.
You know, my wife and I have always been very active and involved in our church, and one of the things that we always wanted to do with our children was show them practical ways to exercise faith. And you know, one of the ways that we did that is as we were growing up, we kept them involved, if you would, or in tune with our finances, never to the point where if the finances were bad, they were worried about them, but yet that they knew where our finances were. And then through that, we showed them that through our obedience of tithing to God, He was always faithful to take care of our needs. Mm. You know, there were times that, you know, it was like the last hour, as they say. But God would always come through. He would always take care of our needs, and to this day, He still does. And I just thank the Lord that carried on into our kids' lives, and they are seeing that now exercised in their lives.
Fantastic. Well, you are getting really practical, and when we can teach our kids about finances, we consider that to be one of the five essential areas of life. When we travel and teach, we always focus on five essential areas, faith being number one, foundational, but finance is always one of those. And the Bible says so much, and where our treasure is, there's our heart. Teaching our children about God's treasures ultimately are learning that we don't own anything, and we give back to Him. It's a great message. Thank you, Rick, my friend. Appreciate it. Let me go to Marion in Tucson. Hi, Marion.
Hi, Dr. Randy.
Appreciate your call. What are you learning about faith or teaching your kids about faith?
Well, you know, part of my marriage vows was to raise a godly heritage. Mm-hmm. But sadly enough, my husband divorced me after 14 years, just suddenly. And I fell apart, and he dropped out of my two daughters' lives. And
how old were your daughters at the time?
At the time, they were 8 and 10.
Wow. Difficult time. These young girls developing identity and their sense of value and purpose.
I have lived with the condemnation from the enemy of my failure to root and ground my children in the Word of God.
So did that affect you then in how you parented?
Yes, it did. I didn't put boundaries in place. I felt they were so hurt, and so I would, you know, let them do or let them have what they want.
So you were operated more out of guilt than out of confidence.
Well, I praise the Lord that now I've had healing, and mainly through Family Life Radio. But I'm calling today because I am very concerned about my 4-year-old granddaughter. My middle daughter was a single mom when she had Soraya, and God placed this little baby in my arms when she was 2 days old, and I virtually raised her till 3 and a half. But now my daughter is in another relationship. She's living with her boyfriend. He is not a believer. He is extremely controlling.
Well, I tell you, Marion, listen, when you have a situation like this, and you just said it, you don't want to be in a spirit of condemnation. You know, beating yourself up is not going to do you any good. And when the Bible says that that He forgives, if we're faithful and just, you know, he's faithful and just. There's always justice and faithfulness if we confess our sins. And then you move on with confidence. But if you have a concern for your daughter, if you have a concern for her, then you have a responsibility to, with confidence, to call her aside and sit down and talk to her. You need to address issues with her. You need to be intentional with her in terms of what your observations are and how you can help her and stand with her. We get young people who grow up, they get married, they get in multiple relationships, they make bad decisions. And as a result of these decisions, there's always consequences that have to be dealt with. And so, you know, the key, Marion, is to be very transparent with your daughter and be very observant. You know, we want to support our kids, but at the same time, we have an obligation at times to sit down and talk about the things that we're concerned about. You can do that, but you've got to be intentional in the process.
My name is Heather. I'm just listening to your message in regards to parenting. And the one thing I would say is that it is a misconception that parents think that kids are born knowing how to do things. And everything for a child is a learning experience, and that it should be looked at as a learning experience. Not, they should know how to stand in line, they should know how to sit at the table, they should know how to do this, know how to do that. They need to be taught it. And to teach something to somebody, it doesn't happen overnight. It takes repetition and doing it several times over again before you learn it. So to have patience with your children and understand that they're learning how to do things, they are not automatically born with the knowledge of how to do stuff.
The world's changing, and it can feel chaotic. But what if the key to growing through it starts with how we see it?
The very first step, I think, in understanding that we can grow through change is to accept it. It's not a plot against you or against me, but it's just a reality that throughout our life, we are in a constant state of change.
In Dr. Randy's teaching titled, Intentionals for Growing Through Change, he highlights 10 ways you can grow through the changes in your life. When you give a monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
A night of music, laughter, and hope. It's Family Life Radio's Night of Hope, Friday, June 6th with Dr. Randy Carlson.
You can experience more peace and hope and joy in your relationships, and I'm going to show you how to do that at the Night of Hope.
You'll also hear inspiring music by Jordan St. Cyr.
You've walked me through fire.
Friday, June 6th at Haven Church in Glendale. Sponsored in part by Compassion International. Tickets available at myflr.org.
Hey, listen, we're just a little over a week away, coming up June 6th, a week from this Friday. Can't believe it. And we're here, and we're going to have an exciting night. It's going to be a really positive evening. I'm looking forward to sharing with you six powerful truths to help you build a dream, to get you out of stuckness. Maybe you're feeling like I don't have much hope for my marriage or my family, struggling maybe, or just looking for some encouragement for your life, for your own personal life, and your goals for the future. And there are six powerful things that I have seen work that come from Scripture. They'll change your life. It's going to be a great evening of worship and learning and being with other believers together. Coming up June 6th, as you just heard mentioned, in Glendale at the Haven Church, limited seating, tickets available today. Bring some friends with you. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. And I promise it'll be an evening that you won't regret. I'm looking forward to meeting you. We're going to have our crew there as well, and you're going to have a night to see some of the resources that we have available through the ministry. And we're just really excited about being in Glendale on June 6th. Again, get your tickets at theintentionallife.com. Success in life usually requires taking a risk, and often without a certain result. There are plenty of foolish risks and foolish people in life. Avoid both. But when you're fully trusting God and following His will for your life, you should have no fear. The Bible says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you.
I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Risking your pride, or risking being in control, or trying to be right is worth it for building healthy relationships. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. Hey, I want to invite you to join me for a night of hope. Come discover how you can experience your life, your marriage, and your family the way God intended. Night of Hope, Glendale, Arizona, Haven Church, Friday, June 6th. Tickets at theintentionallife.com. All right. Hey, there's another reminder coming up June 6th, that Night of Hope. And this is very unique. We're bringing together music and an opportunity to teach. It's going to be a night where you're going to leave and be encouraged. And so, again, make sure you get those tickets at theintentionallife.com. You know, I was talking about risk, and that's one of the things I'm going to be talking about this at that evening. You know, we talk about six powerful things that I have seen, and they come right from Scripture, that can really break that feeling of inertia in our lives. Maybe God's placed a dream in your life. Maybe God's placed a desire in your life, and you really know it's a good thing. It's something from Him, but you just feel like it's not happening, like you're stuck. What you're going to find on our Night of Hope is that you can break free from that, and you can start the process, and it begins with the first step, and I'm going to tell you what that is. At the Night of Hope. I hope you come and be a part of it. Again, at theintentionallife.com. Hey, I just want to say a huge thank you to those of you who've been praying for us here at Intentional Living. You're a part of the ministry. You've been so faithful in your monthly support, your regular support, your financial support. Is sort of the underpinning. It's the foundation to allow us to do what we do every day. And I want to say thank you for standing with us and making this ministry possible. And if you've never joined us, would you consider about doing that today? You realize that four quarters a day, a dollar a day, is going to go a long ways toward impacting people here and around the planet through our podcast, radio broadcast, our events, publications, and so on. You can join us. Find out more about the ministry by going to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. And when you're there, just click on that donate icon. All the information is there for you. And I just want to say how much I appreciate you standing with us in your support of Intentional Living.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Randy?
Okay, thank you much, Kurt. Appreciate it. And if you just joined us, this is the Intentional Living Center. From this place, we do our research, we create videos and resources, do our national radio program, worldwide streaming online, prepare materials for conferences. You've heard some conferences coming up, for instance. And that's why we do this. We're very passionate. We don't live in a world with lack of information. You can Google anything about anything. The issue is one of execution, knowing the right thing to do and then doing it. Scripture says to figure out what pleases Christ and then do it, Ephesians 5:10 in the Message. And that's sort of at the core and the heart of what Intentional Living Message is filled with, a lot of hope, a lot of hope. And we're here for your life. That's why we're on the air every day. Today, we're asking a simple question. What are you doing specifically to teach your kids about faith? Audra is in Lubbock. Hi there, Audra.
Hey.
What about this faith thing with kids? What are you learning?
Well, I have my son with me right now. He's 19 now. But when he was little, we lived in Alpine, Texas. It was a mountainous terrain. And I told him, I said, you know, faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains. And he took me so literal. He went up in my cabinet and got some mustard seeds that I had bought to show people how large a mustard seed is. And he ate a whole bunch of them. And he's like, he's got a lot of faith in him, right? And we were driving down the highway, and he looked over at the mountains, and he said, mountains, move in the name of Jesus. And I never thought much of it, but like the next day, they had a small earthquake in Alpine. never happens. And I mean, it was very easy, you know. And I always brought that to my memory later. He said, it moved a mountain. And I was like, wow. Is that, I mean, because I know that they're talking about, you know, mountains in your life, you know, problems and stuff. But that was just a wow moment for me. And then later, he just showed me that he had much faith. He was always that way. And I'd tell him, you know, we are to charge our giants like David charged Goliath. We are to charge our problems that way and have faith that God is going to take us through it and get us through. And he really believed it. And I had gotten sick when he was younger, and he prayed. I was healed. I mean, they said I had congestive heart failure, that I was not going to make it. I mean, I had pneumonia. It was bad. I was on my deathbed.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, Audra, God has a way, if we have sensitivity in our spirit, and as children, I think children just naturally have this potential for more sensitivity, to have those God moments, to catch God's presence. You know, the other morning last week when we were coming to the office early, I was watching I think it was Venus, before the sun would come up, and thinking to myself, here's Venus 20, 30 million miles from here, and that's one of our closest planets. And you look out into the vastness of the night sky and see the wonder of God's creation. There are so many ways that we can help our children see. There you are with your horses to see some of these magnificent creations of God that we have on this planet. These things are not random. They're not chaotic. They're by the process of God's touch, by his hand, by his creation, that these things exist. Powerful. Okay, Audra, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. I got to get Elizabeth on here. She's been waiting just down the road from you in Midland, Texas. Hey, Elizabeth. What have you learned about faith, Elizabeth?
Well, you asked the question, what have you been doing intentionally to teach your children about, you know, the Word?
Right.
And I wanted to share what we've been doing.
Go for it.
Well, it has to be intentional because it can be by accident. We're celebrating the Passover feast and basing ourselves with the Bible. We're doing a very tangible way and being able to teach the children about this. And it's not only about the history of it, but it's the spiritual sense of it.
You know, I think that's a very good point, Elizabeth. I know you're probably referring to like the Seder dinner, where there's a picture of God's protection again through that. I think one thing that we don't have a lot of, unfortunately, even in our own evangelical community, is enough tradition. And I know there's always the fear that it becomes, you know, rote and it becomes legalistic and so on. But a certain amount of tradition, some of these traditions can be very positive for us. And they build into the lives of our children a sense of wonder and a sense of expectation and a sense of tradition. So I applaud the fact, Elizabeth, that you and your family are doing something very practical to teach your kids about faith by some of these celebrations. I think that can be a positive thing, certainly. Thank you for your call from Midland, Texas. Midland, Texas. Wherever you are today, tell us your story. You can share it on our story line at 888-888-1717.
My name is Kathy. I have a daughter who is now 30. When she was 26, she was talking to me, and she said she no longer believes in God because of the bad things that happen to people. And I asked her if there was anything I could say that would change her mind, and she said no. I said, okay, that's fine. I said, can I pray for you? And she said, well, if you still believe, then yes, you can. And I told her that I was convicted of my faith, and we talked about it for a while, and she asked me where she would go if she were laying on her deathbed right now and I were talking to her, and I told her she would go to hell. And here's the thing that impressed me most. She thanked me for being honest with her, because she said most of the Christian friends that she had, when she told them that she no longer believed in God, they all said, well, you know, maybe you won't go to hell because God knows your heart and he's the only one that does and he's the only one that can judge. She thanked me for being honest with her. And that's kind of where we're at right now. I leave it in God's hands. He knows everything that's going to happen to everybody in their life throughout their entire life. So he knows if she's going to come back to him or not. But every day, out loud in the morning, I do pray that he fills her heart with the Holy Spirit and pulls her back to him. It saddens me. It frightens me. But I leave it in God's hands. And we do talk about faith. She just informs me she still doesn't believe. And that's my story. Bye.
One of these days we all will stand before the Lord and give a reason for everything we've done and what I've done. I trust in Jesus, my great deliverer, my strong defender, the Son.
Trusting in God, you hear that mom share her heart, her burden, her concern, her love, and her honesty with her daughter. And I was thinking as I was hearing her testimony, how some of you were responding to that. Some of you were offended that mom would be that honest with her daughter and appearing to be so unloving. In a day and age in which, let's face it, we don't hear the truth of the gospel sometimes. We hear the loving part, but not the justice part of God's eternal justice. And in fact, it says in the scripture, in the Corinthians, Paul says that the preaching of the gospel is an offense to those who are perishing. Boy, obviously we need to speak the truth in love. That's biblical. We need to do so in a way that honors God and know that God is a caring, loving Father. But we need to speak the truth. Let's pray for that mom. Remember her today, okay? And for that daughter. Maybe the story today we talk about kids and faith isn't the... Maybe you're closer to that story than a hopeful story. But today, trusting God completely today, okay? Hey, thanks for joining us. I want to say thanks to our members. They make this program possible. Thank you, members, for your ongoing, faithful, continual support for Intentional Living. God bless you. If you're not on the team, come and join us, theintentionallife.com. And for the entire team here, we'll see you next time from the Intentional Living Center.